The Lord Jesus Christ has called His church to walk, to work, to be. Three commands in His life. The commands He gave us were to love God, love others, and go. And that is what we do as a church. That's who we are. If you are in Christ, those three commands sum up all that you are to be. Because in those three commands, all of the Word of God is given unto us and filled with the pledge of life. And that life will bring us unto Christ Jesus, unto eternity, and unto the righteousness that is covering each and every one of us. For we have no righteousness of our own. Can I get an amen, church? But we claim the righteousness of Christ unto that day when He makes us fully righteous in His presence, and we are given that new body and that new spirit, and we are departed from the old. Oh, what a day that will be. But we got a lot of work to do until then. And in fact, that's what we're going to be working on today. Because how many of you, it was a good weekend, how many of you liked a little bit of cloudy and you got to sleep in just a little bit maybe on Saturday, you know, or maybe even Friday, you know, no Friday you had to go to work. Well, I wasn't working, I was on vacation. So I had the ability to sleep in just a little bit, not much, just a little bit, and it was glorious. But the thing of it is, we all have to wake up, don't we? Yes, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because Jesus was with His disciples and He told them to remain awake in the Spirit. We have to understand and see. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 14, in our continuation of the Gospel of Mark, looking at the big picture, but then taking it and looking at what's the big idea Jesus is trying to teach us here, because, you know, we know that this is all showing us that He's the Christ, what He's doing for us. But in it, Jesus is teaching us something. What is He teaching His children? What is He speaking to us? What does this bring to us? Yes, it brings to us that Jesus is the Christ, but it brings so much more. What is He speaking to you and I? And I believe He is telling us to remain awake in the Spirit. So let us, from the 32nd verse, read 32 through 35 in the 14th chapter of the book of Mark. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And He took with Him Peter and James and John, and He began to be very distressed and troubled. And He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And He went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass Him by. Now, I want us to look at this. We're going to look at this in pieces, okay? Because I want us to gain an understanding of what Jesus is teaching us here. Here's my question. We're all Christians, and we're all supposed to be honest, right? We're all supposed to be truth tellers. We're all supposed to be vulnerable to one another. You know, we're not to have any secrets, right? So, what just happened here? A lot of us don't see it. A lot of us don't get it. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12. Did He take all of them with Him the whole way? No. He took a group of them and gave them a little bit of information, and He set them over here. But then He took three, and He was going to be giving them a little bit more information, and He brought them with Him. Now, did He bring them with Him the whole way? No. Yet again, no. Because what happens between me and God is between who? Me and God. However, I can have a group of people, gee, Root, sounds like a prayer chain, doesn't it? You know, I can have a group of people that have a little bit more knowledge than the rest. Okay, do you see why we do what we do with our prayers? Y'all put your stuff down on the prayer sheet, right? And so that's the information that we can all get to know. But then I'm sure you probably spoke with some of your friends and they know a little bit more information. But you know the most of the information. So here, Jesus is setting us up to show us, this is how I want you to work prayer. You have a group of people who are praying big, broad prayers, okay? I was told this morning, I'm going to share with you just to give you an idea of what I was talking about. You know, I have no idea what to write down. So many of my family's traveling. You had no idea what you were saying, did you? And it's like, okay, that's all I need to know. You know where they're going specifically. We know they're traveling. How many of them is it? You don't need to care. All you need to know is there's a bunch of people traveling, so we need to pray for travel mercies wide and broad and high and deep. Can I get an amen? Amen. But those who know a little bit more can pray a little bit more specific. And those who know just that little bit more, pray specifically. You see, Jesus is setting us up here. He's telling us just how important prayer is and how we need to work it. Because prayer is not just a bunch of babble out to the Lord. You know, I've been around people already as pastors. We love to pontificate. Brother David, can I get an amen?
Amen, brother.
That's why when I have our pastors meeting, I do not ask everyone to pray to close us out. We will be there another 45 minutes. So I pick one pastor, and instead of 45 minutes, it lasts 15. You get my point, okay? So here, what we're doing here is Jesus is saying, look, I want you to see how this works. I want you to understand that all of you are important. God wants all of our prayers, and he wants our prayers to be into a specific direction, right? They knew Jesus was going away to pray. That's all they needed to know. Then the next group, the group of three, oh, wait a minute, something distressing is happening here. We need to pray a little bit more poignantly because something distressing is happening here. But Jesus knew he was going to pray to take this thing away from me. Thy will be done, not mine. Amen? So again, it's those different levels. And when you and I can look into this and say to ourselves, wow, this is God himself showing us how to set up prayer within the church, showing us how to implement prayer within our lives and in our prayer circles. All of a sudden, we begin to understand that there's power in these different arenas. And then there's also the level of knowledge. Because we don't need everybody knowing everything, do we? No. Because God judges the heart and the mind. And people who have too much information generally loose lips sink ships. Do I get a follow on that? Okay, it becomes a gossip chain, not a prayer chain. I hate gossip chains. And that takes all the power away from prayer, whether you know that or not. It's being very careful because it's not about me and what I think. It's about my heart and love for the other individuals and what's really, truly needed and lifting that up. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. How do I know that? Look at what comes next. From verse 36. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words. Now here he comes back. This is the three. This is the three. And he goes to one who was in charge of the three. And where are they? What is their state of being? They are asleep. He asked them to pray, and they went to sleep. How many of us are asleep in our prayer life? Because we're not in the spirit. We're praying in the flesh. We're praying in our power. We're not praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's understanding that the power of the Holy Spirit can change us. He changes our prayers because they no longer become prayers of an individual, but they're the prayers of God going back up to God. How do I know that? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, all right? The whole time through this gospel message, I'm telling you to turn out of it very little because I don't want to distract from the message that he's giving us. But there's a message here, Psalm 51 and 11 and 12. because I want you to see this, because, you know, somebody brought this to me years ago, and it just so amazes me, because this is what Jesus is speaking about. He's literally quoting scripture here to these people. And from the 11th verse of the 51st Psalm, it says this: "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Look at verse 12. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." Remember what Jesus said here? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The willing spirit of the Lord is a spirit of joy. Do you read that there in Psalm 51? It is a spirit of joy. And it is an amazing power, because in the midst of everything dark and dank, how many of us just want to pull the covers back up over our head and go to sleep? Do you see it? Are you getting the picture Jesus is painting here? When our strength is too weak, all we want to do is turn to depression. But Jesus says, "Oh, no, no, no. Come unto me, take my spirit which is willing, and my spirit which is filled with joy, and restore unto me the joy of my salvation." And in that, we will walk in strength and power that none of us has in and of ourselves. And that strength and power will not only sustain us, but it'll help sustain the person to whom we're sending that power out. How many of us think about our prayers having power towards other people? You know, this past week we had a prayer request go out for JB's mom. Okay, now this is out on the internet and I'm not ashamed to say it. I sat in a tree and I literally wept for that young woman. She's a healthy woman. All of a sudden, boom, she's down with a heart attack. How many of us know people that stuff's been happening to? And it's, you know, the older I get, I just turned 62. Oh, dear Lord. And it's like, you know, I'm at that age. Y'all know what I mean who are there. And those of you who are getting there, it's worrying you. That's why your hair's turning gray. We all know, you know, it's a coming for us. But the reality is, man, when we take to prayer, God can move mountains. Isn't that what the scripture says? "Speak to this mountain, be ye moved into the sea, and it'll be." That's what God's talking about. Are you believing? Are you walking in that willing spirit? The Spirit of God is willing, but He is not an oppressor. You have got to welcome Him in. "And the joy of my salvation will restore my soul. And the joy of my salvation will empower my prayers. And the joy of my salvation shall be proclaimed from the treetops." Because I'm going to tell you right now, when you're walking in the Spirit like Pastor is right now, you are about as pumped up as you're ever going to get. And in that pump, God is putting out His presence, because it isn't about me. It is all about Him and the love He has, the power He wants you to know, the joy He wants you to feel in the face of darkness. He says, "I am here and I have overcome, and you are one of mine, and you're going to see the finish line. And when you do, you have no idea what you're going to see. For no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those of us who are in Christ Jesus." Can I get an amen? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when we understand the power of what Jesus has given us here, oh my heavens, what opens up to us. Oh, you know, Miss Jen has told us how many times, "You do not let Satan rob your joy." What is our joy, Miss Jen? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our joy. But when we turn away from the Holy Spirit, now we've got to walk it in our power. And that's when things start to put us to sleep, spiritually. So I want you to understand, man, remain awake. Hold on to the Holy Spirit. And when you think you don't have Him, you know, when you think, oh, it's waning, just cry out to Him, and there He is. All you got to do is yield yourself to Him, and the joy of your salvation is right there. When we understand what God is telling us here, you know, it's just that simple reality. We make these things happen. We either walk awake or we walk asleep. How many of you know that there's a whole lot of walking dead out there in the world? That's what Jesus here is talking about, because he's talking about life and death. And we need to be awake. That's to be alive and in the Spirit. Because Jesus here was walking in the Spirit, but he was looking towards a physical death. How many of us know physical death is coming our way? The only way it isn't is if the trumpet blows and we're raptured out of here. And how many of you are looking forward to that day? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I swear I hear the horses are coming. Okay? I mean, you know, hey, let's get real here. Let's look at what's happening in our world. You know, and understand this stuff isn't going away. You know, everybody thinks we made we just had an election and now everything's going to change. Yeah, it's going to change, but it ain't going to be as what you think it's going to be. How many of you got a crystal ball that you can predict tomorrow? No, I ain't got one. But how many of you have a God and a Savior that you can trust for every moment? And he knows what's coming. And he knows what you're going to get led into. And he knows the power that you're going to need. And he says, and I'm sending my joy right into your life. But you got to be willing to take him. You got to remain awake, because the flesh is weak. And who knows that better than the evil one himself? He wants to get you down. How many of you get up in the morning only to get down in the Spirit? You know who I'm talking to. We look in the mirror and we say, oh, here we go again. Why aren't you looking in the mirror and saying, let's go, Lord. We're about to do battle all day long. Because I'll guarantee you, if you got through the night, it is what? Morning. And joy cometh in the morning. We need to remember at the end of every night, there's a morning. And that morning is Jesus the Christ in our lives. Walk with him, hold to him, and see what he has to say. And I want you to understand, it ain't over till it's over, right? So what's Jesus tell us here to the end? He says, and again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time, and he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. What did he just speak to you and I? What's Jesus telling us here? Jesus knows we're going to falter at this, doesn't he? He comes back a third time. You're still resting. You're still sleeping. He says, it's enough. Get up. Let's be what? Love God, love others, and let's be going. Because it's now time to move. Jesus has us covered. He knows we aren't going to be able to do it. He has us covered. Get up. It's enough. You tried. You tried. Didn't work. But I'm here to bring all sufficiency into being. Do you see it? Do you see it? But you need to work with me. You need to be with me. I have something I want you to do, because now we're going to go. That has never changed. That will never change. He's already completed the work. Now it's time for us to what? Go. You and I have been given that third command here and at another place. We are to be going. He has already taken care of it. God has loved us. He has sent his Son. His Son has loved us. We're others. We are now to take that love unto others, and we are to go. You and I need to understand, when Jesus here is completing this trilogy, he is giving us the reality of how prayer works in our lives and how he works in our prayers, and then we are to simply go and continue in this manner. from the rest of our days. When we understand, you and I are going to fall short on this, but Jesus is the all-sufficiency. Can I get an amen? And in His all-sufficiency, He has us covered. But now we are to go. Don't stay there sleeping. Get up, get on your feet, and get going. Because there's a work to be done. You and I don't have to do the work, which is the salvific work. We have to do the work of bringing the message to folks that this is how it works, and God will do the rest. Can I get an amen, church? Because in that, it's understanding our portion is not to do the completeness of it, because only He could, but ours is to be there with Him and be through it and then take that message to others. Because do you think these three that were there with Jesus didn't go back and tell them what they saw? Well, how do you think we got this? Because they did. And they told one another, and they understood, and they wrote it down. And that means that it's been kept. And how many of us keep the things of God in our hearts when He walks in our lives, when He walks in the lives of our friends? And we hear those stories, and all of a sudden those stories become our story too, because it's history. It's His story. And He is directly involved in everything that He is and in everything that He does. So we need to understand, Jesus here starts the process. Jesus here is in the midst of the process, and Jesus finishes the process. He simply asks us to come along. That's our job, to come along in the different stages, to be awake in the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with His joy of salvation. You'll not fall asleep. Now, how many of us are going to go home here after church and eat dinner and then take our Sunday nap? That's not what I'm talking about. That's okay. You may do that. I'm talking spiritual matters, aren't I? Yes, I am. I'm not talking the physical stuff. I'm talking spiritually. We need to be awake in the Lord. We need to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit and understand that Jesus has done the work. All we have to do is walk with Him, agree with Him, and remain awake. Remain awake. Keep your eyes open to what is happening and speak to that darkness. Because in that, the light will penetrate it unto the saving of others. Because Jesus did not waste anything. And He's got you on His side. And He's not wasting you. You are a part of this whole process. And you are very important to Him. Does God need any one of us? No, not at all. But because of His great love, God wants every one of us. That's how important we are. How many of us go through our lives wondering if anybody sees me? Does anybody see me? I'm going to tell you all right now, if you've just gone through this with me, you know God sees you. Because He wants you there and active. Why? Because He loves you. He's our Father. The good, good Father. And the shepherd of the sheep has laid His life down for each and every one of us. May we be awake in the Spirit. Pray with me. Father God, we often sleep. But Lord, that's because we're weak. Your Word tells us that right here. So Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon each and every one of us, that we may be strong, and that we may remember to call upon Your name, to call upon the Holy Spirit during those times, because that's what You're talking here. But we know that You have brought all things to completion, and we thank You for that. But may we be found faithful, and may we truly walk in the joy of our salvation. And by that, we will see clearly what's going on and know how to act and know how to pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. We ask, Lord, that all those out here who are awake, that they would call upon your name. And for those who are asleep, Lord God, I pray that you would wake them up through the power of your Holy Spirit. But Lord, we know you're not an oppressor. So may your love, your gentle whisper, touch each ear and each heart, that we would remain awake in your spirit and go with the message of salvation, who is Jesus the Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.